On Instacart, I can shop a huge selection of pet supplies, from that one brush that scratches him just right, to that extra comfy bed he can't wait to flop down in. And I get everything delivered right to my door in as fast as 1 hour. Okay, settle down. I know it's here. Yes, very exciting. Visit instacart.com or download the app to get a free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply. Instacart. Add life to cart.
You've been waiting all year, and the moment is finally here. It's time to shop Boll & Branch's biggest sale and start getting your best sleep in the world's softest sheets. Right now, you can get 25% off the organic cotton sheets loved by millions of sleepers. They feel breathable, luxuriously soft, and get even softer with every wash. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com for 25% off everything with free shipping and extended returns. Shop today at BollAndBranch.com. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to Take 5 in just a second. John Jansen's going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now, the former Michigan offensive lineman, the host of Necessary Roughness with Lang and Jansen, to preview the big game, the game between Michigan and Ohio State, which I'll be in attendance for in the Big House on Saturday. I first don't want to play for you before we get to Take 5, and I give you my top five teams in college football and the NFL. This is Andrea Kramer on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel talking to Colts owner Jim Irsay on his 2014 DUI arrest. Listen up.
I am prejudiced against because I'm a rich white billionaire. If I'm just the average guy down the block, they're not pulling me in. Of course not.
Do you know what it's going to sound like if people hear you say they're prejudiced against a rich white billionaire?
I don't care what it sounds like. It's the truth. I don't, you know, Andre, I could give a damn what people think, how anything sounds or sounds like. The truth is the truth, and I know the truth.
Well, Jim Irsay is a fraud. Here's why. Because you could give a damn what people think about you, but now you are going on a tweeting tirade and a rant about something that I guess Stephen A. Smith and Molly Karam and Kimberly Martin said today. Yeah, you're freaking out, going nuts on Twitter. I'll get to those tweets in just a second. But Jim Irsay was arrested. He pled guilty, too, to DUI. Now, he claims the reason why he failed the sobriety test was because he just had hip surgery and he couldn't walk. So even though he may look at this and say publicly, it wasn't worth it, put it up with the legal fees and all that, you're worth so much money. If you wanted to clear your name and you legitimately had hip surgery and that's why you couldn't walk, wouldn't you not plead guilty? So this is a joke. And let me say this too, because tonight a lot of people go out and a lot of people do a lot of things, and then for some reason they get in the car and they drive. This is a very personal matter to me. My mother, years ago, before I was even born, like when she was a teenager, got hit by a drunk driver who was driving under the influence. She got hit dead on. The driver was going down the wrong way of the street into oncoming traffic, hits my mother. My mother went through the windshield and landed up on his car. My mother was lucky to still be alive. If you are intoxicated, if you are taking drugs, whatever you're doing, out at a bar, in your house, not my business. But you get in a car, it's not going to end well. You're either going to end up in jail, you're going to harm yourself, or you're going to harm somebody else. And guess what? If you get away with it and you don't get arrested, you don't harm yourself, you don't harm somebody else, you'll do it again and eventually it will catch up to you. So I don't want to hear Jim Irsay, who pled guilty to DUI, now say, yeah, it was because of my hip surgery. If that was the case, you shouldn't have been a dummy and you shouldn't have pled guilty then. That's ridiculous from Jim Irsay. And now he's tweeting on just a tirade. First take, you're gonna get your ass sued because there was no alcohol, no illegal drugs. $29,000 is low for me to be carrying in 2014 arrest. I give away $2,000 to $10,000 to the homeless and needy on the streets all the time and pass it on, making the world better. Okay, Then why'd you plead guilty? If you weren't under the influence, why'd you plead guilty, Jim? And then he goes on to say a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. My grandparents came from Ellis Island with just a shirt on their back, penniless and escaping Jewish concentration camps. I grew up in a horrible home where both my brother and sister died in a car crash in 1971. I worked for my living, bought 30% of the Colts bank loan. Like, what does any of this stuff mean? Like, it has nothing to do, and I say this as a Jewish man, it has nothing to do with you getting pulled over and you getting arrested and you pleading guilty. And this is where he goes to a new low. And on First Take, the woman that preceded Stephen A., how dare you pretend to know me? I don't know your name and I don't care to. Clearly you do because you're tweeting about her. If my black mother, Dorothy, was still alive, you'd be in some big hot water. You are mean and ugly. You're a nothing burger. Jim Irsay now is allowed to say who's attractive in this world. Jim, have you looked into the mirror? Have you seen the way that you look? Yeah, give me a break. And I guess he's talking about Molly Karam or Kimberly Martin. But that's where so you don't like someone's opinion, so you go, oh, you're ugly? Like, give me a break. This guy's such a loser. Hey, Roger Goodell, if he had any balls, would call Jim Irsay up right now and say, stop tweeting. Like, give me your X account. We need to deactivate this. And then he tweets a photo of, I guess it's him and Edrin James. And he says, hey, Stephen A., my friend and buddy Edrin James from Spain on vacation together say, get a life, fool. You ain't got a clue, fool. Now, do me a favor, boy. Play me that clip one more time of Jim Irsay on his 2014 DUI arrest. This courtesy of, once again, Real Sports.
I am prejudiced against because I'm a rich white billionaire. If I'm just the average guy down the block, they're not pulling me in. Of course not.
Do you know what it's going to sound like if people hear you say they're prejudiced against a rich white billionaire?
I don't care what it sounds like. It's the truth. I don't, you know, Andre, I could give a damn what people think, how anything sounds or sounds like. The truth is the truth, and I know the truth.
I could give a damn what people say about you. And why do you care what First Take says about you? That's what I would say to Jim. And him saying he got pulled over because he's a white billionaire. Well, if you have all this money, which we know you do, why'd you plead guilty? Why'd you, if you were innocent, why did you plead guilty? It's a joke from Jim Irsay. He's an embarrassment to the NFL. That's what he is. He's a constant clown. And the only good thing he ever did was speak his mind against Daniel Snyder. That's the only good thing Jim Irsay's ever done for the NFL. He's a joke. He's a loser.
And, like, listen, I'm not, you know, going to be the grammar police here, but, like, these tweets, he's got commas in the wrong place.
You know, I needed to laugh there, Sanford. Good job.
He's got commas in the wrong place. He's got, like, the wrong you're. He said you're mean and ugly. Like, he's talking like, I mean, listen, I don't want to make any accusations, but it sounds like he's drunk or high or something. Like,
yeah, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, but the way he's typing,
tweeting like he's stupid.
There's something.
He's stupid.
There's something. Like his mind is just like out in the ether. It makes no sense what he's saying. The content makes no sense, but the way he's typing, there's something going on.
And don't get me wrong. There's sometimes when you're rich, you're successful, you're famous, you get treated the wrong way. People try to tear you down, and people try to do things that are unfair to try to get some of your money and benefit off your fortune. But don't tell me this nonsense. You got pulled over and profiled because you're a rich white billionaire. And then, oh, you failed the sobriety test because you had a hip replacement or you had hip surgery. And then, oh, yeah, you pled guilty because you just wanted it to go away. Once again, you have all this money. Have all of it. Fight it. If that's true, if he's telling the truth that he failed the sobriety test, which is tough for me to believe, because he couldn't walk because he had hip surgery, that's something easy that you could fight here. But that's not what he did. He pled guilty. All righty. Let's go to Take 5 Wednesday. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take 5, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, let's start off in college football because I think it's easier Ohio State, I have kept you out of my top five for the last few weeks. Welcome to the top five in at number five. Four, Oregon, big game this weekend against Oregon State. Whole lot of fun. I think Oregon is one of the more complete teams in the country. I absolutely love Dan Lanning, and their one loss on the year is to Washington, where the game didn't get to overtime because their kicker missed a field goal. Number three, Washington. Washington had 2 weeks where they kind of didn't impress, but this team is undefeated, and their defense was called into question, and their defense was phenomenal up against Oregon State, where their offense got shut out in the second half, and that's a tough environment and also bad weather conditions. So Washington in at three. Michigan's number two. Outside of Georgia, who's number one, I believe Michigan's the second most complete team in the country. Even though their offensive line's not as strong as the last 2 years, they still have a good offensive line with some injuries. McCarthy, I think, will be good enough on Saturday to make a big play, like the receiving core. Blake Corum's a stud. Donovan Edwards is a stud. And there's some guys on that defense, Sandstrill, Jenkins, et cetera, that just make plays. So Michigan in at two, and then Georgia is in at one. And we all know the SEC title game is going to be hyped up in a big way coming up next week with Georgia and Alabama. So Ohio State 5, Oregon 4, Washington 3, Michigan 2, Georgia in the number one spot. Speak now, forever hold your peace, Samter.
It's about time you put Ohio State in your top five, considering they were ranked number one by the College Football Playoff Committee for a few weeks. So
yeah.
glad they're finally there.
Well, guess what? They're in my top five for 1 week. They lose to Michigan. Justice for Zach Gill. Be well-deserved for all the takes I had to take from those Ohio State Buckeye fans.
Could be fun. Now, the team they supplanted
in your
top
five. Now, if it
goes
the other way real quickly where Ohio State wins, man, I'm going to have a lot of egg on my face.
A lot of egg. I'll bring the egg in, and I'll be the one who helps supply it to your face.
You know, I got some vacation days still left on the calendar. Maybe I'd take all next week off. No, I wouldn't do that. Go ahead.
You know what, Zach? I wouldn't blame you if you did, because the amount of heat you would get from Ohio State Buckeye fans would be through the roof. Now, the team that Ohio State supplanted in your top five was Florida State. Do you think that Florida State falls out of your top five because you just don't think they're as good without Jordan Travis? Or are you kind of like in a wait-and-see mode to see how important Jordan Travis was to that team?
I think in national media, I've been the most positive person about Florida State since before the start of the season, where I predicted them to win the ACC. I love the Florida State program. I took them out of my top five, even though there could still be a path for them to get to the College Football Playoff. They win the next two games, are undefeated. We had this conversation earlier. It's going to be a crazy debate. But I took them out of the top five just because of the Jordan Travis injury. And now there's an unknown at the quarterback spot.
Now, the other two teams that have been there in speak now for a little while is Bama and Texas. Do you legitimately think that Bama and Texas are outside of the top five as far as being not one of the five best teams in the country, or that their resume for the College Football Playoff is outside the top five as far as College Football Playoff eligibility?
Gotcha. So Texas, I don't think they are worthy right now to be in the top five. I don't. For Alabama, I would say the same thing as well. But if you put like Alabama on a field tomorrow against Washington or Florida State, even though I have great respect for Washington and Florida State, I truly don't know who's going to win that game. Texas, I think, would be close as well. So you can make a case for why they should be in. But for Alabama, I won't fully get back on them, even though I've been positive about them the last few weeks, until they beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. And it's tough right now to put Alabama in front of Texas, even though the committee may do that eventually, because Texas beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Alrighty, NFL. This was tough. Finding the five teams wasn't tough. It was ordering the teams. In at number five, Kansas City Chiefs. 3 weeks in a row, the offense didn't score in the second half. Defense is great. Offense has problems. Wide receivers got to catch the ball. Number four, Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions. They're in at number four. They're 8-2. They're going to be 9-2 after tomorrow when they take care of business up against the Go, Pack, go! Number three, it is the 49ers. I was really close to putting the Lions in front of the 49ers. I did think the injuries caught up to the 49ers during that three-game losing streak. I said, don't get crazy. Don't freak out. Don't buy stock in the 49ers. They're still one of the best teams in football. You get Trent Williams back. You get Deebo Samuel back. And look what happens. Brock Purdy goes back to looking like he's a great quarterback. Number two, Baltimore Ravens. At home, I know they lost to the Browns 2 weeks ago. But at home, they blew out the Seahawks. They blew out the Lions. Baltimore has this phenomenal defense. Offensively, I still think they're finding their way. And they're still 8-3. And Lamar's healthy. And they just need Lamar to be healthy. And they're as good as anybody in the AFC if number 8 is healthy. And the number 1, the Philadelphia Eagles. 9-1. Still haven't even played their best brand of football yet. Kind of slept walk through the first three halves, first three quarters in Kansas City, and then came alive in the fourth quarter and found a way to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs. So 5 Chiefs, 4 Lions who beat the Chiefs, 3 49ers, 2 Ravens, and 1 the Philadelphia Eagles. Samter, speak now, forever hold your peace.
You know, there's actually a few teams that belong in here. Usually there's 1 or 2, sometimes 3. I got 4 teams that I think can make a case for that top 5. Let's start with the Cleveland Browns. You've been all over them this week about how good that defense is and all they need is a quarterback. Why don't they sneak into your top 5?
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof. Very simple. I still don't trust the quarterback. And their defense is phenomenal. But I think it helped when they were going up against an inept offense that couldn't put up points. And you just need Dorian Thompson-Robinson to do something end of the game. So that's why I don't put the Browns in the top 5. If I had to take the Browns and put them in, I had to take Kansas City out. I'll still trust Mahomes with a good defense, then Dorian Thompson-Robinson with a great defense, and Mahomes still having no wide receivers. So I'll still trust more of the Chiefs there.
All right, and then they're rising. I mean, they've got a couple wins in a row. Dak looks hot. The Dallas Cowboys, I mean, I know we have to see what happens in the playoffs, but the Cowboys look legit.
Can they beat somebody? And I'm not talking about the Giants twice. I'm not talking about the Jets and the Pats and the Chargers. There's 2 biggest games of the season. They're a good team, not a great team. They lost to Philadelphia, but they gave a great effort. They still lost the game. And then they also lost and got destroyed, dominated by the San Francisco 49ers. So they're good. They're in the top 10, but they're not deserving of the top 5 right now.
All right, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars. We have no idea what the Jaguars are. Just when we think that they're the best, they get smashed. Just when we think that they're not the team, they just rise back up again. Where are the Jaguars?
So there's different levels here with the Dolphins, the Jaguars, and the Cowboys, who all have good records. There's different levels of who you think are like the better team. But for the Dolphins, the Jaguars, and the Cowboys, in their biggest games of the year, they come up small. Jacksonville lost to Kansas City. Jacksonville got blown out by the 49ers. Dolphins lose to the Eagles, lose to the Bills, lose to the Chiefs. So I look at all 3 of those teams, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, and the Dolphins, all as teams that they're good, but they're not great, and they don't beat the marquee opponents. All righty, that's a Take 5 Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Ohio State in at 5, Oregon in at 4, Washington 3, Michigan 2, Georgia 1. And in the NFL, Chiefs 5, Lions 4, 49ers 3, Ravens 2, Eagles 1.
You told me you were going to have another AFC South team, though, in the top 5.
Okay. The Tennessee Titans. Here's the thing here, Boyle. You are filling in on the show. Remember that. I see Jack Stern in the newsroom. Maybe Jack will, maybe not. Come on back. John Jansen will join us, and we will chat with the former Michigan offensive lineman, also played for the Detroit Lions and the Washington Commanders. I'm going to go call my grandmother, get her wooden spoon, and I'll beat Boyle up. We'll see if he survives the next 40 minutes of the show, but John Jansen will join us next.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing, but I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo Stove Fixed Fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and this is my show. My friends come on, and you know them. We talk about the sports you care about, football, and now basketball, too, though we don't really pay attention until later in the year and the absurdity that is our lives. Line etiquette at your local pharmacy, the current phase of the moon, the importance of talking to a human being on the phone, and most importantly, the power of a box of that. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're gearing up for the game coming up on Saturday between Ohio State and Michigan. I'll be in Ann Arbor, get in there early Friday morning, going to the game on Saturday. Can't wait for it. And now joining us is a former Michigan offensive lineman, a part of the team's radio broadcast now, and he is the host of Necessary Roughness with Lang and Jantz. You can hear him on The Ticket as well. He's all over the place with Stoney Mornings 97.1, The Ticket. That is John Jansen. John, appreciate the time. How are you?
Hey, good evening. It's great to hear from you, Zach.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. So I don't want to bury the lead here. We'll get to that game coming up on Saturday. But how about Dan Campbell on your show the other day saying that turkey's basically trash and what he does on Thanksgiving is just eat a lot of ham?
I was shocked. Not only that, but he said he doesn't like a stuffing or dressing. I couldn't believe it. If there was anybody coaching in the game of football that I thought would be a turkey, mashed potatoes, dressing covered in gravy, would have been Dan Campbell. But, hey, to each their own. At least he went with another protein and went with some swine in the ham.
Well, he better not be a fraud after the Lions go to 9-2 and take care of business against the Packers. If he's eating a turkey leg on the field on Thursday, I would think very lowly of Dan Campbell after what he said.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, in the moment, if you're presented with that turkey leg, it's a tradition, it's a classic, and if they win, I mean, shoot, they haven't won since 2016. If he wants to take a turkey leg, if he wants to go vegan, I don't care. Just win the damn game.
But this is personal for me. So for years, I've kind of led this charge. I've been known as the radio guy that has said turkey's overrated, turkey's not good. My family, the main dish is lasagna on Thanksgiving. And I've had a lot of people reach out to me, say, what you talk about turkey, you're absolutely right. So I'm accepting of others that admit that turkey is not great. But for your Thanksgiving, John Jansen, what are some of your favorite food items? Are you a traditional person?
It's a good thing you told me after I was on the phone that you're not a turkey guy, or else I would have hung up.
Well, you would have been a dope. You would have been wrong. It wouldn't have been the first time, John.
Oh, my goodness. It seems very un-American that you wouldn't want to have turkey. I mean, obviously, we'll have turkey, and I'm a pretty basic dude. I've got turkey, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, stuffing, and then it's all obviously covered in as much gravy as my plate will hold.
Now, I find it funny you have a kid crying in the background the moment that you say that you're going to have turkey. The kid doesn't even like turkey in the background right now.
Oh, he's begging for it. That's what he wants. We're heading out to dinner right now, and he's jonesing for tomorrow's dinner already.
All right, let's get to the game, John Jansen. I won't keep you here forever because I know you got to get to dinner. Where is your confidence level in J.J. McCarthy entering the game on Saturday?
Oh, it's high. And I tell you what, I think J.J., it really comes down to the protection. If he can be protected by this Michigan offensive line, he's going to be able to surgically pick apart the Ohio State defense. But the problem hasn't been J.J. and his ability to throw. He's even really good at getting outside the pocket. It's been since the Purdue game. It was Purdue, it was Penn State, and then Maryland last week. We've struggled protecting J.J. At the end of the Penn State game, he took a hit, came up a little bit lame, and is going to be fine. I don't think there's anything going on with him anymore, but that's the main issue. You got to find a way to protect him. If you give him time, he'll be very accurate like he has been for the most part all season long.
When you look at Ohio State, outside of all, right, their response and the Ryan Day and the Harbaugh stuff, I'm just talking about the team. How do you view this Ohio State team this go-around?
Well, in terms of their wide receivers, it's classic Ohio State, right? They've got the best receivers in the country. They've got who I think is the most outstanding player in college football, and Marvin Harrison Jr. You got Julian Fleming, Amika Igbuka. I mean, you've got talent there The difference this year is you've got a healthy running back in Travion Henderson. They are, if Ryan Day sticks with the game plan of being able to throw the ball, run the ball, and mix it up, they become very hard to defend. Offensive line-wise, I don't think they're as strong as they were the last couple of years. And Kyle McCord is definitely not Justin Fields, and he's not C.J. Stroud. So that's really where their weakness is. And that's why when you ask about J.J., he's got to be that guy that I described. If he is, Michigan will win this game because Kyle McCord is just not that same type of quarterback that they've been used to having.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 no confidence, 10 all the confidence in the world, John Jansen, where's your confidence that Michigan wins this game?
Well, I'd be an 8. I got to be honest, I'm pretty confident, but you never go into this game overconfident. If anybody goes in saying they're a 10, you're in for a beating. And it's this is going to be a physical matchup. And, you know, whether or not you believe Ryan Day is right, that his team is tough, I've never been one that you got to proclaim it. You got to see it on the field. And this is going to be the most physical game these guys will play all season long. It's going to be the toughest game. It's going to come down to who wants it more, who's willing to win inside the trenches. If your offensive line, your defensive lines are going to be tough, they're going to be physical, that's what's going to give you the edge in this game.
And I really do think as well, like the last few years, we've seen the way that Michigan has just dominated in the trenches. And last year, Michigan with McCarthy was able to make the big play. This Ohio defense is better than the ones the last 2 years. I think it comes down to, can Michigan go create a big play? And that's ultimately what I think will determine this game, John.
Yeah, and it really comes down to being able to block JT off the edge and Jack Sawyer off the other edge. If you can find a way, whether it's tight end, it's running back chip, it's motion, it's personnel, whatever you can do to slow them down, that's going to give you a good opportunity because they're good defensively. They're better in the secondary than they have been. And it is. It's a much better defense, and they're playing at a higher level. They're playing, you know, connected. The rush with the secondary, I mean, they're playing really good football. So it's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell you that. And did I hear you're going to be in town?
Yeah, I'm going to be in town. I get in Friday morning, and I'll be there Saturday for the game, obviously.
All right. Hey, we will be pulling in at 5:30 a.m. I expect you at our tailgate by 6 o'clock when the lot opens up.
Send me the details. I never pass up free booze and free food as well. I will definitely hit you up on those details. Before I let you run, just two more with John Jansen. Obviously, the Stallion stuff, the sign-stealing scandal has been a part of this. What do you say to Ohio State fan that just says, John, the only reason Michigan beat Ohio State the last 2 years was because you had our signs?
Well, then you're not listening to Ryan Day because he said early on that they knew last year that Michigan had their signs. They changed things up. They went with the huddle. They did different things last year. So if you don't believe Ryan Day, then I'm not sure what you're talking about, what you're thinking about. They already made their adjustments, and last year Michigan was able to beat them at their own game.
And then finally, before we let you run, you're doing a morning drive in Detroit, the Lions, right, they've been, I know this game is the story, but the Lions have really been the story this year that everyone could get behind, and they haven't won a division title since 93, haven't won a playoff game since 1991. They're 8-2, they'll be 9-2 after tomorrow after taking care of Green Bay. How far do you think the Lions can really take this thing this year?
I mean, I would love to say that they're a Super Bowl contender, and certainly that's in the cards. It's a low percentage, and you got to be dealt the right hand. But I think they definitely have the potential to get to an NFC championship game. Home field advantage for the Lions. And if they win their division, and you nailed it, like they've got one playoff win in the last 60-plus years. They've got to host a playoff game. They need to be able to have that advantage at home because it's such a young team. Jared Goff, and we saw it on display last week. Like, you know, he didn't play great at the beginning of that game, but he's got that veteran presence that can bring you back. But there's so many young guys that have never – they don't understand what the tempo of playoffs is like, what the excitement, what the energy is like. So if they could have one, two – I mean, shoot, with only two losses right now, I mean, the Eagles look great, but they're still in the running for home field advantage throughout.
John, appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Enjoy dinner. Thanks for doing this. Hope to link up with you this weekend.
That sounds great. We'll see you Saturday morning.
You got it. There he is, John Jansen, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Always enjoy when we get to chat with him. All righty, let's do this. We'll take a break right now. We'll come on back. I want to play you some of this Scott Mitchell audio and after watching the Barry Sanders documentary. You know, isn't it funny? But this is how you know I'm getting a little bit older. Not that I'm like an old curmudgeon, you know, just a pain in the ass old man. But usually the night before Thanksgiving, you would go out, you would party, you would have fun. Tonight, I'm not doing anything. I'm going home, I'm eating some dinner, and I think I'm going to watch like three things on TV. I'm going to watch the Barry Sanders documentary because now I'm intrigued about it. I'm going to watch the Barstool Sports Advisors and see Stu Feiner like throw pies in his face and just go crazy. And then, I got the Rangers tonight too, up against the Penguins. Those are the three things I'm going to do. I've like become a loser now the night before Thanksgiving.
Become?
Oh, hey-oh.
It's all right. Come on. Like, Samter's just sitting there. I'll go get the hammer out. We'll whack a mole and say goodbye to Samter, and that will be it. It's fine. You guys do anything tonight? Like, Boyle, I know you're like a frat wannabe star. You're a party rock star. Are you doing anything tonight?
I'm not going nuts, and I'm not going home. That's the thing. I was hosting yesterday after you, and I refuse to go home and have those awkward conversations with people that are within 10 years older or younger of me, and you don't want to talk to them, but then you run into them at a bar because you're home.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that you would ever be there is to try to hook up with somebody that you missed out on in high school. So, no, I'm here tomorrow all day doing updates. I'm hosting locally in the Black Friday morning, so I will. Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing tonight?
I'll probably go to a bar, have a couple drinks, and watch some basketball and hockey, but nothing crazy.
Okay, and you already ate dinner, right?
Yes.
I was going to say, you want to go get dinner after the show, but shucks, guess we can't do that.
Well, it depends who's paying. You got the host salary.
It's a fair point. Maybe I'll go have a meal with Boyle after the show. Belletti, they're off. Belletti ain't doing anything.
You for real? By the time I get out of here, I'm going to wind up with...
Belletti's just hoping the car works this time on the way home.
Let me get home. Let's see if the six-month-old is crying. Is a three-year-old? Apparently he's got a fever. Let's see if the nine-year-old doesn't want to go to sleep. Yeah.
I don't know why I sometimes I sometimes get intrigued by like other people's misfortunes
want misery? Yeah, come here. I got it.
So you told me the other day that someone in your family got sick and that's where you're supposed to go to for Thanksgiving. So what are you doing now?
Now all kinds of monkey wrench. My sister got sick, so we were supposed to go there.
Okay.
So that's done. Then my mom was going to host, so apparently she's now cooking a feast, pushing 80 years old because she can't have anybody do anything for her. But now I did get a text about an hour ago. My daughter, my three-year-old, has got a fever.
Oy.
So I don't know what the story is with her. We may not be able to go because if she's sick, can't get old people sick. So,
yeah. Can you just do me a favor here?
Mm.
Can you just run this line by your wife tonight?
Mm.
I really want to go to Thanksgiving. I haven't had a real Thanksgiving in a long time. How about you watch the kids? I'll go to Thanksgiving.
I think we might be ordering Chinese. Is basically what it goes down to. I think that's what we might be doing.
Like, just we'll give you a recorder. You walk in the house, and we'll see what happens there. Marco's gonna get hit by a wooden spoon or a shoe.
I mean, honestly, come on.
That's a solid plan, though.
What?
Chinese food, if nothing else.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we wind up and I got the sick kids and whatever, and we're gonna wind up we've been the house of disease apparently for the last 3 months.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Last 3 months, I feel like this has been like the last
half
year.
It's ongoing since September.
It's
I swear
petri
to you.
Dish.
It's disgusting. I mean, little kids.
How old are your kids?
They're nasty. They're germ infested.
One's like
nine,
4 months.
I got 9, 3, and 6 months.
Oh, jeez.
And the 3-year-old and the 6-month-old have been sick for 2 months.
Now, every time your kids get sick, do you get sick?
Oh, yeah.
All the time?
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Because as much as you can't avoid them, what am I going to do? Say, like, the 3-year-old's sick, put her in her room. Like, I mean, you got to take care of them. And usually after you hold them and they cough in your face and basically spit on you for a week, you're going to get sick.
I just have this, like, vision of Marco Belletti just in, like, a bathrobe, walking in, sitting down on, like, a small stool, reading a book, like, Good Night Moon or something like that to your kids when they're sick.
What am I, Hugh Hefner? What am I in a bathrobe sitting on a stool?
I mean, like little Tony Soprano, kind of, with the wife beater shirt on, too.
I mean, I know I live in a crap shack. I don't sit on a stool. I got a couch.
I just picture Marco never is out of the Yankee hat and a colored flannel.
That's a good
point,
too.
Actually, the hat comes off the second I walk in the door. That's the first
and
thing
And the sweatpants go right on.
Marco's closet, it's all just different colored flannels and different Yankee hats.
You walk around your house in just boxers?
No.
Okay.
No.
Gotcha.
Did I when I lived alone? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, you got three kids.
And the wife before the kids came around? You boxed just boxers?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Yeah, but I mean, she hated me then, too. So it was pretty much, you know, put some clothes on. Yeah.
All righty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll preview the three games for tomorrow. And also got to play you some audio from this reaction to the Barry Sanders doc.
Rock your body.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
We're back again.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe I'll go grab a drink with Boyle after the show. Maybe on my dime, too. I got to eat some dinner, too. Westville good, Boyle? You down to go right next to the building, go to Westville after the show?
I could do that.
Okay. Samter, you down, or you got obligations? I'm assuming Samter's very busy. Samter's a very busy guy. He's all business. Even during the holiday tomorrow, Samter's going to be dealing with some business. But I got to eventually watch tonight at some point this Barry Sanders doc on Amazon Prime. I did see that former Lions quarterback Scott Mitchell, I guess he gets torn apart and is the reason to blame, let's just say, for Barry Sanders not getting to a Super Bowl. Well, he posted on Facebook, like last night he watches the doc, then he posts on Facebook at 3 a.m., I'm so tired of hearing how I was the reason that Barry Sanders never won a Super Bowl. I'm so tired of hearing how I was not a good QB. My only response is bleep you all. That includes Eminem and Jeff Daniels. I love the fire. Because you could envision this. You could definitely envision this. So you're the quarterback. You go to watch the Barry Sanders documentary. You sit down. And I have not seen it yet, but I'm assuming it gets torn to pieces and shredded to pieces in the doc. And then you're watching this and you're seeing all these people go after you. And I guess Eminem's in the doc and he's going after Scott Mitchell. And Scott goes, as he's probably about to go to bed, I'm going to fire off a Facebook post. Bleep you all. I love that. There's nothing more that I like than an older guy on Facebook just shredding people to pieces. It's such a dad thing to do. An older guy thing to do. So Scott Mitchell sounded off. He joined Boomer and Geo on WFAN, also via the CBS Sports Network, earlier this morning. And he commented on his Facebook post about the Barry Sanders doc.
I just got kind of tired of hearing about how I was the problem with things in Detroit, and that if Barry just had a quarterback, you know, he would have been a Super Bowl winner. You know, that it was kind of that missing piece. I just felt like I had to defend myself. I was a good player. I was a really good player. I just didn't get enough time in that system and with that strategy to make it work. And I just wanted more time is really, I think, what I was frustrated with in my time in Detroit. And every time we won, there was this pristine picture of Barry Sanders on the front page. And every time we lost, you know, I'm getting ripped apart by five guys. And I was okay with that. I really was. And I understood, you know, the nature of it. I just wanted more time. And that's really all it is.
Now, I love Barry Sanders, and we know he's one of the more electrifying players in NFL history. I think I talk to Barry Sanders once a year at whatever event here and there for like the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know if, though, I was very inclined to watch this doc. After hearing Scott Mitchell's reaction, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fire that up tonight. So Scott actually helps Barry Sanders maybe get more people to watch this documentary. I want to play Shaka Smart. So last night, Marquette is a top five team in the nation, depending on what their outcome is going to be tonight. They could actually be the number one team. But last night, Shaka Smart took down Kansas, and there was a little kerfuffle during the game between Shaka Smart and Bill Self, and they were actually going at it, yelling at one another. This is Shaka Smart via ESPN Milwaukee on his little spat with Bill Self.
I probably shouldn't have got so excited, but
I tell you what, I said this in the post-game media. We're Marquette. We are Marquette. And we don't take a backseat to anyone. So if someone wants to step up and challenge us, okay, we're going to challenge them right back.
And Marquette right now is playing Purdue in this tournament. They are trailing Purdue 33-27. The winner of this game will probably be the number one team in the country. I watched some of that. I didn't really get what the whole like fight was about between Shaka Smart and Bill Self, but I guess Shaka Smart was annoyed with something, and then he tried to fire up his team and send a message as he's trying to get Marquette back. And they had a good season last year, a little bit disappointing in the tourney. But Shaka Smart, right, one of the more lovable coaches with what he did with Havoc at VCU, and then also disappointing at Texas, but then realized it wasn't going to work at Texas and goes to Marquette. I think that's a good fit for Shaka Smart. And finally, I just want to play this before we get into the games coming up tomorrow. This is Tariq Woolen and Carson Wentz. This is Tariq calling Carson Wentz after the Seahawks-Rams game, as Wentz is now a backup, a legend. This is courtesy of Seahawks Twitter.
Now you big as hell in person.
Me?
Hell
you big
yeah.
As hell. I'm what supposed to
fuck?
Be. You ain't supposed to be.
I ain't even trying to be a fangirl right now, chill, bro. No cap, bro. You a legend too, bro. Hell yeah. For real, nice to meet you, man. So I'm Tariq, bro. Hell yeah, nice to meet you.
So that'd be one thing if there's some sort of college connection here, because Carson Wentz played at North Dakota State and he ended up being the second overall pick in the draft. But can I just throw this theory out here? And you guys just let me know if you think this has any legs. Do you think there was a chance Tariq Woolen thought that was Matthew Stafford? The Ram, like, they're playing the Rams. You see this big white guy quarterback walking over. Do you think Tariq Woolen was like, hey, Matthew Stafford, you're a legend. Just didn't say Matthew. And then it's Carson Wentz? Because I kind of explore this. I don't see what the connection would be why Woolen would think Wentz is a legend here.
I don't think after playing the entire game right. against Stafford that he would then
yeah.
see
never
Carson
know they got
Wentz.
Helmets on. Yeah, it sounds stupid, but
maybe he fell in love with the Philadelphia Eagles when he was in college or when yeah. he was, I guess, in maybe even high school at that time, right? Reek's only like 25, 26.
Yeah, second year in the league, and Wentz, that was back in 2017, 2016 when he first got to Philly and had that great MVP season. He should have won the MVP, and then he got hurt, so... Man, that was wild. That just shows you. You have one great year, or you have one great, you're a legend, you're the GOAT. I forget who was it. It was Brandon Miller at the draft that said Paul George is his GOAT. There's a difference who your favorite player is and then who's the greatest player of all time or who we put in legendary status. Carson Wentz, yeah, no, not a legend. Finally, I hate to say it. I think all the teams that are expected to win tomorrow win. And I know that's usually chalk. I know that's low-hanging fruit. The Lions against the Packers, I like the Lions. Jordan Love looked better than what he actually is because the Chargers defense stinks a week ago. Cowboys, they'll beat the Commanders. That's what the Cowboys do. They beat up on bad teams. The Commanders are a bad team. 49ers Seahawks, if there's going to be an upset, there's potentially one, but I'm not going to bet against the San Francisco 49ers right now. So I think the 49ers win tomorrow. I think the Cowboys win tomorrow, and the Lions win tomorrow. If you don't want to go up against the spread because the Lions 7.5, Cowboys 12.5, the 49ers are 7. Moneyline parlay, you get it at -105 with those three teams. I did throw together a funky, it was like over plus 1,000 anytime touchdown parlay. It was Sam Laporta, Brian Robinson Jr., and then Christian McCaffrey. I think that was like plus 1,100 or plus 1,200 on a little parlay for anytime touchdown. All righty, everybody. That is the Zach Gelb Show on a Wednesday, and that's the actual last show of the week. Not here tomorrow, not here on Friday, and no Eye on Football for yours truly on Sunday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Wonderful time of the year. Food, family, football. We'll be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Make sure you give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram. You'll see all the food tomorrow. My account's at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. You will not see a turkey. There's a little Zach Gelb Show PSA, turkey Thanksgiving. You know, very overrated. And then I'll be in Ann Arbor Friday, Saturday. Follow along there. And then Sunday afternoon, I will be at Lincoln Financial Field for Eagles and Bills. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Discover, this is Daniela.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great, but with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Do you like asparagus and mushroom sorbet? I've got leftovers.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.